Good morning once again. The lesson in which we're going to talk about this morning stems off of what we've been talking about the last two Sundays, the wisdom of that of King Solomon. And if you have been with us the past two Sundays, we have spent our Sunday morning studying about the wisdom of King Solomon of 1 Kings chapter 3. And this morning, I would like for us to continue that study regarding that of wisdom by looking at King Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, in which we're going to talk about strength versus wisdom from Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And we'll be reading there verses 13 through 18 here in just a moment. But to review, as Solomon took over as king, the Lord asked him what he wanted. And he asked for wisdom so that he could be able to rule God's people well. And since he asked for wisdom instead of asking for power or great wealth, as we talked about, God was so impressed by that, God gave him that wisdom. But then God also made him rich and also powerful, as we know in the Scriptures. And the gist of the book of Ecclesiastes, as we know, is that Solomon set out to discover the true meaning of life. A quest, if you will. He set out to figure it all out, and he had a series of experiments. He tested a few things. He tried out of all those ways that people normally try to find true happiness, even as we think of in our society today. And his conclusion is found at the end of the book, of course, of Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verses 13 and 14, where he says the conclusion, when all has been heard, when all has been done, the whole duty of man is to do what? Fear God and keep His commandments. Because this applies to every person. That is the conclusion. But in the middle of the book, Solomon tells us some of what he learned during his many years as king. And so if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 9, we'll notice verses 13 through 18 together. Also, this I came to see as wisdom under the sun, and it impressed me. There was a small city with few men in it, and a great king came to it, surrounded it, and constructed large bulwarks against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he delivered the city by his wisdom. Yet no one remembered that poor man. So I said, wisdom is better than strength. But the wisdom of the poor man is despised, and his words are not heeded. The words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Verse 18, he says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. And so we find in this passage that Solomon actually tells a short story. Whether this is an actual account or just a parable, we do not really know. But we do know, however, that there is at least one very similar account that actually takes place during the reign of his father, King David. In 2 Samuel chapter 20, the Bible actually describes a worthless fellow by the name of Sheba who blew a trumpet and rallied the people against King David. The Bible explains that all the men of Israel withdrew from following David, and they followed this man by the name of Sheba. All the men, that is, except the men from the tribe of Judah. Well, David could see that it was a serious situation. And so King David sent Joab, one of his mighty warriors that we know, to go take care of the situation. And you find in verses 14 through 22 of 2 Samuel chapter 20, as the Bible explains that Joab went through all the tribes of Israel and also went after him. They came and besieged him in Abel, Bethmaachah, and they cast up a siege ramp against the city, and it stood by the rampart. And all the people who were with Joab were wreaking destruction in order to topple the wall, it says. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Here, here, please tell Joab, come here that I may speak with you." And at this point, the woman basically says, "You don't want to destroy this entire city, do you? How about it? How about if we just throw Sheba's head over the wall?" And that sounded pretty good to Joab. The people ended up throwing the head over the wall. And verse 22 tells us of 2 Samuel 20 that Joab blew the trumpet, and they were dispersed from the city, each to his tent, and Joab also returned to the king at Jerusalem. So there's something very similar, maybe, to this. And this is something that would have taken place perhaps as Solomon was in his younger years, as a little boy growing up, as Solomon. And so they say, as they say, perhaps the names have simply been changed here to protect the innocent, maybe. We have no way of knowing for sure whether this is the actual incident that Solomon is referring to in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. But we do know that in Solomon's story, a wise man simply saves the city and is then forgotten. And as we think about this little parable, this little short story here, I would invite you to ask the question with me, so what? A lot of times we read certain things like that and we want to know, so what? What's the purpose behind it? We got to dig to find out what he's talking about. And so as we ask that question, we ask ourselves why this passage is really even in the Bible. I believe that Solomon, in the text itself of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 13 through 18, gives us some very important answers to that question. So first of all, as we read through this text, we clearly understand that Solomon is, I'd say the word is frustrated. He's frustrated that the people of the town are not thankful for the wise man's advice. And so we have a lesson, first of all, about the ugliness of ingratitude. And we read this, and really when you read it, you kind of get angry yourself. It kind of stirs up your emotions a little bit, because you kind of put yourself in that man's situation who saved the city and then is simply forgotten. Thrown to the side, as some would say. Because here is a city that is in the process of being invaded. It is a small city, as it says in the scriptures, with just a few men, and we have this powerful king and a huge army building bulwarks against it. We think, okay, they're going to lose the battle. What does it mean to lose a battle? Have you ever really thought about that, especially in biblical terms? In the days of the ancient times, it means that the city itself, no matter if it was great or small, it would be leveled. Leveled. And that all of the inhabitants of the city would either be sold into slavery or put to death. It's not like playing a game of battleship, you know, at the house. There is some serious consequences to losing a battle in the ancient times. There was no hope for a happy ending here. Until this poor wise man described in the scripture speaks up and he saves the day. But then we come to Solomon's shocking observation at the end of verse 15 as he says, yet no one remembered that poor man. That's a sad situation. No one gave the man any kind of reward. He didn't get anything. There was no parade. There was no spot on the evening news for him. There were no streets or schools named after this poor man. No one offered him a job so that he would no longer need to be poor. I might point that out as well. But instead, he was simply forgotten. Forgotten. And so we start to see King Solomon's frustration here, don't we? Frustration that such a wise and helpful man could so easily be forgotten. Of course, today we know what Solomon was talking about. Very rarely are people honored, I'm just thinking in our country, just for matters, for their great wisdom. Really. Do you turn the news on and that's all you see? Is people being honored for their great wisdom and saving the day? No. I want you to think for a moment about what our world focuses on. Let's think back in recent weeks. And I don't know about you, but it seemed that the media has been obsessed with, I'm going to throw her name out there, Lindsay Lohan. How many of us are tired of hearing about Lindsay Lohan? It's exhausting. It's really exhausting. And in fact, the website, TMZ.com, which is for celebrity news and gossip, for that matter, reports that there were nearly 2.3 million. Stop and think about that number. 2.3 million people who logged in to view the live coverage of what Lindsay Lohan was up to this week. Man. And what did she do to deserve all of the media attention? What did she do? Well, did she save a city? No, not that I know. Has she cured cancer? No. Did she plug the oil wells? No. But instead, what put her at the top of the news in recent weeks was the fact that she was hauled into court, where she was sentenced to 90 days in jail and 90 days in rehab for violating her probation for not attending an alcohol class that was imposed on her as the result of a drunk driving and drug possession conviction back in 2007. What is wrong with our focus? What is wrong with the perspective? That's the kind of person that the world really cares about. And you tell me that that doesn't make you a little upset? Does that not stir your emotions a little bit? We don't care about the poor wise man. As a society, we want to know how Lindsay's feeling. Solomon has a message for the world today. Be thankful for the poor wise man. Be thankful for wisdom. For wisdom. Regardless of how much money we make, show at least a little bit of appreciation of those who are wise. The lesson for us this morning is that we are to pay at least a little attention to the wise man. Don't forget the guy, don't abuse the guy, but be thankful for that person. You know, as I was growing older, the old saying has always been that the older you get, the wiser your parents are. You don't appreciate it as much until you reach about, well, I guess it was about 18 when I had to move out. They're really wise people. Be thankful for the wisdom. The next thing is, we are not to put our confidence in human resources. And that's another lesson for us to consider. It comes through Solomon's reminder that we are not to put our confidence in human resources. And as we step back and we look at the six verses, very simply, we see a number of vivid contrasts. A small city with a few men compared to a great king who constructed a great bulwarks, a single man versus a powerful king. That's really the gist of it. Everything about this story points to doom and gloom, destruction of this small city. And those in the city knew that they were about to die. I want you to imagine that you're inside this city, small as it is. Here comes this great army, this great powerful king. You are looking at being leveled. Your loved ones, watching them die. You might be sold into slavery if you're not dead yourself. And those in the army knew that they were about to win. They've already kind of figured out their part of the story. It's just a matter of time at this point. However, Solomon says that the city was delivered, not by physical strength, not by weapons of mass destruction, as we would say today, war, but by nothing more than the wisdom of one single poor man. This one always gets me. We do not have really any details to this short story here, but we know that the poor wise man delivered the city by his wisdom. That's what it says. And there's another contrast. The wise man was poor. I mean, let's think about this. We know that the natural tendency is for us to look down on those who are poor. Perhaps we think that they must not have ambition. They must not have wisdom. Otherwise, they would be rich. In James 2, we find that some people in the early church were apparently giving a place of honor to those who are rich. And it talks about the poor, who are apparently were then invited to stand up in the back. James was incredibly distraught about it, because it makes us judges with evil motives. When you have time, look at James chapter 2 if you haven't looked at it recently, and study that. But back to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Solomon is making a vivid contrast. Once again, a poor wise man and a powerful king. Our power and wealth and armies and clothing do not win the battles. But God is looking for wisdom. As human beings, we may feel better with wealth and power and armies and luxurious things, but those things really do not matter. They don't. And remember, this story is coming from a rich and powerful king himself. Boy, he's got a perspective on some things, doesn't he? King Solomon knew this by experience, and so he says it in verse 18, wisdom is better than weapons of war. In other words, might does not make right at all. Power and wealth may, as we see today, and get us ahead in the short term, but over the long run, as the scripture says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. We're not to put our trust in human resources. The Israelites knew that very well. They did that many times. They would fashion themselves as those heathen nations, and they would lose battle after battle until they started realizing who their true resource was, the source of all things, God. And so this is the second lesson this morning. It applies to us as a nation, but also applies to us as a congregation and as individuals. We are not to put our trust in human resources. Third basic idea for us this morning from these verses, and it comes in the form of an implied command. And that is, listen to the wise man. In verse 17, Solomon says, the words of the wise heard in quietness are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. The International Version says that the quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. The New King James Version says that words of the wise spoken quietly should be heard rather than the shout of a ruler of fools. And so we get the idea. The idea that's presented, it is better to listen to the wise even though they may be speaking quietly than it is to listen to the shouting of a foolish ruler. Well, that's simple, isn't it? Of course, we know how easy it is to get this backwards. In our society, those who shout often get the most attention. Has anybody watched C-SPAN? You know, you watch politicians or anything like that. I'm not that kind of person watching C-SPAN, but it's kind of interesting that when a politician is a good public speaker, we may think, I need to listen to that guy. He's dressed nice. He's got some really neat words there he's using. Some big words maybe. But if we listen with wisdom, we may realize that he is not really saying anything. And I would say that the same thing goes for preachers. Not to step on the toes a little bit there, but there are some good speakers out there who really have nothing to say. There's no substance to their messages. But then on the other hand, those who speak God's truth may be rather quiet. We would almost say the word boring. But the style of speaking does not really determine whether the words are true. Among preachers, that we have heard an old story about a very dynamic preacher. Someone found his sermon outline, and out in the margin to the side, he had written on a note to himself, weak point, pound pulpit. Kind of looks like that, you know. So you bang on the pulpit a little bit to make it sound like it's got some oomph to it. And so the idea was that to make up for that weak point, he had to pound on the pulpit. kind of making a scene, to scream and shout. But King Solomon says that it's better to listen to the wise speaking quietly than to listen to the shouting of a fool. The lesson for us this morning is that we are not to focus on style. We're not to focus on the size of a church. We're not to focus on the programs that are offered. We're not to focus on a dynamic preacher. But we are to focus on the actual words that are simply spoken. We are to listen to the wise man. And this has no reflection that I'm wise. I don't want y'all throwing that out there. Not reflecting. Kinsey would probably agree. He's not wise. These are just simply the words of God. These are the wise words that's coming from him. Well, let's look at the fourth point. At least one more that I would point out before the end of this passage for us to consider. When it comes to wisdom, we find here at the end that sin can ruin it all. In other words, wisdom is fragile. Wisdom is something that is truly vulnerable. And like Solomon, we will not spend much time on the negative aspect of the lesson, but we do need to remind each other that one sin can damage a lot of wisdom. One sin can take down an entire congregation. One sin can ruin someone's reputation and influence for years, if not forever. That's true. Verse 18, Solomon says, one sinner destroys much good. From our own personal experience, we know that the consequences of sin are almost never confined to the person who sinned. That's the truth. We would like to think it is, but sin has a tendency to spread and cause much dis-ease. Both Paul and Jesus compared sin to the yeast that spreads to the whole lump of dough. You remember that? In the same way, one person may sin, and that person may think, well, that's none of anybody else's business. But that's not true. Our behavior has an effect on other people. We think about the sin of Achan in the opening chapters of the book of Joshua. Was there some problems there? The people were fighting their way into the promised land. They had conquered the city of Jericho with no trouble at all. But Achan, we think about Achan. And he secretly took a few small items that God had told them not to take. He covered it up. But as you know, the next battle did not go so well for them. The Israelites should have won, but they lost in a big way, and it all went back to where? Achan. The people were humiliated. Soldiers lost their lives. The Israelites were brought down and discouraged. The sin of one man among 2 to 3 million. Multitudes brought an entire nation to its knees. Achan and his entire family were then put to death. And all of this goes back to one sin. One sin can undo a lot of wisdom, can it? We think about the sin between David and Bathsheba. David looked down from the roof of the palace and saw this woman bathing. David looked and lusted. He could have argued that, well, that really is a private matter. But we know better. That one sin led to adultery. Then it led to jealousy. Then it led to what? What was murder? Who would have thought that that would have went that far? The child died. The nation was disgraced. And David's family had all kinds of trouble from that point on, proving that one sin has a tendency to do what? Grow. We can think back to our years in high school. There are some people who might have been pretty smart. They might have had good grades, you know. But we remember them for maybe the one thing that they did. I remember one day that I'll share as we were in the cafeteria eating beef tips. And I will not eat beef tips to this day. Absolutely will not. It's the one thing that has been stuck in my mind forever. And one got sick all of a sudden, and I don't have to go into all the detail of upset stomach and such, but how nasty the scene turned out to be. You know, that boy was remembered for that for the rest of his life. to this day, when I think of him, I'm not going to mention his name, but I know his name, I think of beef tips. I don't know. It's just, you know, 12 years later, here I am, you know. I mean, it was vivid. It was burned into memory. He was a good student. Really good grades. I think I cheated off him a couple times. But he will never be remembered as the boy. He will forever be remembered as the boy who got sick eating beef tips. But anyway, I get off that. Perhaps in a slightly similar way, one sin can cancel out a lot of wisdom. There is value to wisdom. There is value to it, but we should also realize that one sin can do truly a lot of damage. So let's bring this lesson to a conclusion. As we close our thoughts on this brief passage of these six verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 13 through 18, as we think about back to what we read, this unappreciated wise man who saved many people, some questions to ask. Is there another wise man who saved many people who comes to mind? Another poor man who through his wisdom saved others but was then ignored by the world? Is there someone else that is in our minds? We might, of course, have that already in our minds before I even got to that question. I'm thinking, of course, Jesus. Consider 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. The word of the cross is foolish to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Jesus was that other wise man that saved many people. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Through his wisdom, saved others, but ignored by the world. Those in the world do not appreciate the wisdom of the cross. They don't. Most people do not appreciate the poor wise man who saved the city. But most people are looking for something big and amazing, something spectacular. And yet Paul tells us that Jesus is the wisdom of God. In his great wisdom, God saw fit to save the world by offering his only Son as a sacrifice for our sins. I have some other questions for us. Do we appreciate the wisdom of that plan? Is my life reflecting my appreciation for that plan? Having been baptized into Christ to rise and walk in newness of life, confessing Jesus to be the Son of God. Will we join the world in forgetting about the poor wise man, or will we honor him as we should? Another verse from the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. As you get your psalm books ready, and I appreciate your kind attention and your patience in this lesson, I think this lesson today still holds so much truth for us today regarding the wisdom that we are to long for, that it is there for us, that all we have to do is open up the Bible and look into it, and it's there. Going back to that question again, as you think about our own personal lives, do I appreciate the wisdom of the plan that God sent his Son, that he died on that cross of Calvary for my sins, that I might have the hope of eternal life? And once again, is my life reflecting my appreciation for him, my gratitude for saving me? I hope it is, my friends. But if there's something that's missing in our lives, if we haven't been baptized into Christ and we need to take that step this morning, let's do that. Let's show our appreciation for the great wise man. Let's live the life in which he wants us to live. And of course, as Christians, if we have fallen away and if we have begun to start forgetting about that poor wise man, Jesus Himself. If we're not honoring Him as we should, and there's something that we need. Song of encouragement. If we need it anyway, won't you come as we say, sing a song that's been selected. When we walk with